have them this evening. It's a phrase or an illustration we use, I think, quite often. It comes up sometimes in our Bible classes or sometimes just in our general conversation or something. So we're going to look at this these Bible verses this evening for our lesson. I'm going to read the section first so that we can hear the topic in its entirety. Even though I gave you two scripture references at the top, I'm just going to read the one from Matthew, and you're welcome to look over at the one on Luke at your leisure. But in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38, I know if I start the verses, you could probably finish them yourselves. It's that familiar of a text. But Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 38. So ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Don't even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Almost wish he'd have left that section of scripture out. That's a mighty task, and we need a little explanation, I know. Well, at least we're going to have an explanation. Well, I kind of gave you some, I think, kind of lengthy notes, probably sometimes more than I may usually do. But this part of Jesus' sermon is teaching a lesson about revenge, and he's saying, don't do it. Matthew 5, verse 38, he says, you've heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is a practice of a society that doesn't have a judicial system or a process. Kind of like what we would call the iron rule. You know, I will do unto you what you do to me. Kind of another rule that goes along with it. I may want to do unto you before you do to me. But that's a kind of a law of the land or the law of the brute. So the law of the jungle, we say, you know, it's the exact method of justice. It's a personal vendetta. It's the idea of might makes right. You know, if I can, I will. So Jesus is not recommending that. If someone knocks your tooth out, you don't have the okay to knock out one of theirs. Or a whole mouthful. I put in your notes the general theme of the scripture text in the negative is don't act like the heathen. Don't exact retaliation. No getting even. Don't act in kind. No vengeance. Don't take the law in your own hands. No vigilanteism. Don't act like them or identify with their character, those that are mistreating you. And it's not weakness that Jesus is describing here. It's not letting people run over you. You can defend yourself, but without vengeance. To state the lesson the positive, is just act rightly, do good, exemplify Christianity. In other words, no matter what the treatment you're being received, you and I need to do that which is correct. We need to behave ourselves. We need to stay within the law of the land and add God's expectations of us. That's what Jesus is saying here. You can stand up for yourself, but do it without doing evil. You do good. The text gives four reasons for not exacting revenge or taking the law into your own hands. It's in verse 39 of the verse that I read in Matthew. But I say unto you. So what Jesus is telling us to do or how to act, he's saying, you know, it's a heavenly command. It's a charge that's been given us from above. It's an obligation we have from God. It's a command and an expectation of the highest authority. When we behave like this, we're following orders. We want to behave in a way that's legal, but also knowing that it's what God wants us to do. So one reason why we don't take the law into our own hands is because of what Jesus said. I say unto you this. Second, in verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You ever hear the expression, I know you have, like father, like son. And this behavior is not, we're not to exact revenge because God didn't do that. And we want, the admonition is to be like our Father. We want to be children of the Father which is in heaven. It's so when we behave the way Jesus is outlined here, we're following what we would call house rules. Sometimes parents give rules to children. These are the house rules. You know, you will call when you stay, if you stay out later than the appointed time, or whatever it is. Those are house rules, and we as children need to follow God's house rules to be, we're children of the Father. It identifies us as God's family. Number three, in verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now the word perfect doesn't mean sinless. We need to repeat that every so often because people still think that the biblical word perfect means flawless. But the word perfect means complete or mature, grown up, ripe. That's a good word. But you're not young. Mature. In my childish days, I might hit my bigger brother. And of course, he would hit me back because we're still children. And then, you know, when he would hit me back, he would say, this is for hitting me. And then Rod, my older brother, he would say, hit me again. And he'd say, and this one, so you'll know not to hit me again. So he would hit me back in kind and add one more. You know? To remind me not to do that again. I don't match God's perfection in these actions, but when we do this that Jesus is obligating us in, it puts us into a sphere of godliness where we are acting like the Father. In Luke 6, verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So the admonition is like Father, like son, or like children. Number four is in the text that Luke records, Luke 6, verse 31, and as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. So that's a familiar golden rule. You know, when we make mistakes and have accidents or cause injury to others, I really don't want them to retaliate in kind back to me. You know, it hurts, so we strive to be kind to others, so hopefully that will come back to us. If I'm at your house and I accidentally break a window, I don't want you to come over to my house and break a window. Because I know you'll probably break a bigger one. And then I'm obligated to go back to your house because you broke a bigger window of mine than I did at yours. So that's the way the world would act. shared an article with me this past week, and I said, I want a copy of that. Kind of, I said, it goes along with my lesson for Sunday night. It was in the news. An assailant suffers injuries from fall. Okay, so here's the assailant, and he was injured from the fall. It says, Orville Smith, a store manager for Best Buy in Augusta, Georgia, told the police he observed a male customer, later identified as Tyrone Jackson. He observed him on surveillance cameras putting a laptop computer under his jacket. So when Orville Smith, the manager, confronts the man, the Tyrone, he became irate, knocked down an employee, drew a knife, and ran out the door. Outside on the sidewalk were four Marines collecting toys for the Toys for Tots program. Smith said the Marines stopped the man, but he, Tyrone, stabbed one of the Marines, Corporal Philip Dugan, in the back. The injury did not appear to be severe. But after police and an ambulance arrived at the scene, Corporal Dugan was transported for treatment. The subject, Tyrone, the guy that stole the computer, was stopped by the Marines, was also transported to the local hospital with two broken arms, a broken ankle, a broken leg, several missing teeth, possible broken ribs, multiple contusions, assorted lacerations, a broken nose, and a broken jaw. Injuries he sustained when he slipped and fell off the curb after stabbing the Marine, according to the police report.
The Marines had read, Matthew.
The Marines had not read our text tonight, so they were not familiar with it. Or they may have been, but they have just said, we'll fix this. There's three examples given in the text that we read. First one has to do with physical harm. Matthew 5, verse 39, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Well, don't do that. I put in your notes, no, we don't. If we get hit on the right cheek, we don't invite a second insult and say, please hurt me again. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's not a literal example of turn your other cheek and beg for more punishment. But rather, Jesus is giving us an attitude and action that we are to display when someone hits us. Romans 12, 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. That's pretty exact and pretty clear. Don't render evil. If someone does evil to me, I'm going to do evil to you. He says, Paul said, continues, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. He says, continues, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Easier said than done. But that's the admonition. That's where the bar is set, as we say. In Romans 13, verses 1 through 6, as the rulers and the laws of the land are by God's design, and in verse 4, the rulers of the land, they are ministers of God and a revenger to execute wrath on him that does evil. So rather than taking the law into our own hands, we use the law to take care of those that would hurt us or disobey the law in mistreating us. So that's number one. Jesus addresses what should we do when we experience physical harm. Second is litigation. In litigation, in Matthew 5, verse 40, if any man will sue you at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Not literally. In the courts, I put in your notes, in the courts of the land, we are not obligated to do as they send a package. You know, here's the shirt off my back. But Jesus is saying, pay what you owe without retaliation. He's not saying, wait, here's more than what I owe. That's not the message. You have two items in the illustration. If someone demands of us our coat, if that was the litigation against us, yes, you need to give him your coat. And that shirt-like undergarment, a tunic, would be it. Just give him your cloak also, the outer garment or the mantle. Sometimes it would be used at night for a covering. Think of maybe a poncho that we have a wrap around us on the outside of our shirt. But you need to know that forbidden by Mosaic law, you could not keep that cloak. If you took my coat, I said, well, take my cloak also. By law, you were not to keep the cloak. It's in Exodus 22, verse 26. It says, if thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the time the sun goes down. For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass when he cries to me that I will that I will hear, for I am gracious. God said, I'll get the guy when you owe him a coat, but in your graciousness you give a cloak also. God said, he's not for make sure you pay make your payment. God says, no, he's supposed to give it back to you at the end of the day. Years ago, we had some remodeling done at our house, put a second story up because Christine's parents came to live with us. So we built it upstairs. While they were building that upstairs, we, all four of us, Christine's parents and Christine and I, moved into an apartment, two-bedroom apartment. And Daryl gave them a refundable cleaning deposit. You know where I'm going with this. A refundable cleaning deposit. Time to move out after the construction was finished, and Daryl and Wilma, they cleaned that place. I mean, cleaned it. It was in better shape than, I think, when we arrived. So when it came time to, when we left, Daryl asked about the refundable deposit, and he was denied. He pleaded his cause, and the guy or the lady did give back part of it. But they said, Mr. Collins, no matter how clean you made that apartment, we're still going to have some professional come in and clean the carpets, and so you can't have all of your deposit back. Now, Daryl didn't go back and trash the place. Even though he put all, and Wilma put all that time and effort in cleaning it, you know, they said, well, if you're going to clean it anyway, we're going to trash it. No, he didn't do that. He kind of had the attitude, you want my coat? I'll give you my cloak also. Did more than what was expected. So sometimes in litigation, you know, when we have to do with a legal system, and maybe at times that we still have to do more than even what we thought is owed to us. The last one, number three, was an official demand. In Matthew 5, verse 41, whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. I put in a little historical note in your notes. It was the custom of the day. This goes back, dating back to the Persians, that a man traveling on official business for the government, if need be, he could compel others to assist him in carrying out the demands of the government business that he was on. It was kind of a beautiful custom at first, but over the course of time, the government officials began to abuse that privilege. And rather than just making a demand on someone, come go with me, as needed, they would really compel them to come. You know, you will do this. And so the Jews resented it. A lot of harsh feelings about that. So now Jesus says, suffer this inconvenience and don't put up an unlawful protest again. Don't take the law into your own hands. If you're compelled to go a mile, go two. Of course, not a literal second mile, but again, the idea is just do more than what's expected of you. Not double everything. Some someone, or if you borrow a tool from someone, typically, don't you take it back in better condition than what you borrowed it? Shake your head this way. That's kind of what our parents taught us. When you borrow something, you clean it up. You borrow someone's car, you put more gas in it than what was in it when you drove it away. You do a little bit more than what's expected. You know? So, if you came upon an accident scene and the policeman says, oh, here's this official, and he says, help me direct traffic, please. You know, and when you may get out and do that and help out in some way. And when you're finished, you may want to come back and say, anything else I can do? He may have compelled you to do that first assignment. Would you help me with this traffic right now? Well, is there anything else? Even though he didn't compel me to go a second mile or do additional stuff. So the meaning of really all three of these illustrations is add a little more. Do more than what's expected. Offer assistance. Make it nicer. Give it that added touch when you can, according to your ability. If someone, and this happened for you in this congregation, we might stay for a business meeting, or Christine needs to leave early, so I need a ride home. The one that's giving me a ride home, they don't drop me off at the corner. Well, Jim did once, but there was that one time, you know. They typically pull around the corner into the driveway, and then when I get out, you know what else they do? They stay to make sure I get safely to the door, and I get in, the door opens. Christine hasn't locked me out. They make sure you get in. When you leave the parking lot, the person who is next to last is to wait for the person who is last. Make sure their car starts and it's moving. It's concerned for their safety. If I know what you're thinking already, you're saying, man, Brian, now I have the burden not only to be the last, I can't even be the next to the last now. I have to wait for the last. But again, the idea is do more than what's expected. When Wilma, my mother-in-law, was in the nursing home going through therapy, and we would always visit, or at least I would many times during the mealtime, so I'd help her with her feeding and eating, supper. And sometimes she's doing okay, and so I'll go help someone else. I'm not compelled to do that, but one time, just in joking manner, I looked over one of the staff members, and I said, Julie, what do you want me to do now? Kind of smiling. And she said, start picking up trays. I did, but I don't ask Julie anymore. Anything else I can do? I'm just kind of joking. Helping out there. Always in the big community room, when I'd go in to see Wilma, I'd hello all the patients, call them by name. Christine thought I fit in pretty good there, and she's thinking, I'm going to have a good time in the home that she puts me in. She's not worried about putting me in a home because she's already seen how I behave in one. At the house, our bathroom, there's a clothes hamper. I don't always get my clothes in the hamper. They're always right beside it. Nice pile, though. It's not this one over there. It's a nice pile. Christine tried to compel me. Can't you put your used clothes, your clothes in the hamper? So then she moved the hamper where the pile was. But the lid was still closed, so I couldn't just throw them into the hamper. Now I have to open the lid to put clothes in the hamper.
Take the lid off.
I did that right here. I'm going to remove the lid. Put that in my nose. So three things. It's really the message is an attitude of life that Jesus gives us. Well, I'll close with this poem. I don't know who the author is for the poem. As we recall the kind old grocer, when the sugar he would pour how he tipped the scales to balance, and then he'd add a little more. And his business, how it prospered. Folks were always in his store, for he gave an honest measure, and then he'd add a little more. So it is with life, my brother. We'll write a better score when we've done what is expected and add a little more. That is your life. So that's the lesson. What that means, a cheek, a cloak, second mile. Always when we assemble together, we sing a song of encouragement. We offer an invitation. Maybe one this evening that's not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian, because you have not been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that this evening if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, if you're ready. So let's, if you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can honor that request also. So let's stand together and